They are under a military siege, and right now they're under occupation because of the conflict. But the siege makes it so that they can't get crucial goods to flow through the borders that they would have before. There are shortages of medicine. There's shortages of gasoline. There's shortages of just the real building blocks of like a functioning state economy, and that's a consequence of a naval blockade on the coast of Gaza, and also the blockade between Egypt and there, and then the blockade that Israel is imposing on them.
Well, and Gaza is not a sovereign nation. It is under Israeli occupation. It's an occupied territory, one of the two occupied territories, and as such, Israel is required to carry out certain requirements as an occupying power. Is there a chance that this occupation could end as a result of the conflict in Gaza that's going on right now, or is that occupation set to continue?
I think a lot of that depends crucially on the level of protest and dissent that occurs within both Israel and, I think, more importantly, within the U.S. Once again, looking at the contrast in relative military and economic might of Israel and the U.S., I believe that if protest was sufficiently vocalized in the U.S. and they managed to cut off some measure of aid to Israel, I think Israel would respond.
Are there any efforts at an international level to get a ceasefire that would actually lead to Israeli withdrawal from Gaza?
It seems unlikely because the U.S., in many cases, whenever the Security Council, and the Security Council can issue resolutions that are backed up by force, and so they sort of have to be listened to. But the way the U.N. is set up, the U.S. has veto authority over any decision that the U.N. Security Council makes. And this is true of a handful of other countries. China has veto authority, too. Russia has veto authority also. But I believe that if you look at the historical record, the U.S. is far in the lead of vetoing Security Council resolutions. And given their strategic relationship with Israel, it seems unlikely that they wouldn't veto any sort of decision that would try to compel them to enact some kind of ceasefire.
Well, and given the number of losses on the Palestinians, so many civilians have been killed, it seems that that people would be unlikely to want to go back to the status quo at this point. Many Palestinians in Gaza have said, well, that their deaths would have been in vain if we return to being under occupation at this point. Do you think there's a likelihood that a ceasefire agreement could actually be a possibility, or is this conflict going to be entrenched for a while to come?
Again, I think the Gazan government, Hamas, has made their demands very clear, and I personally don't think the demands are very unreasonable. They want to end the siege so they can continue trading and having goods flowing in, which is the right of any country to have. And they would like Israel to end the military presence there. Internationally, I don't think any of those claims is very controversial, except for in perhaps the United States and, of course, Israel. The problem is that a ceasefire isn't really peace unless a ceasefire is just kind of a pause in the shooting. Unless you allow Gaza to resume the sort of trade that any country enjoys.
You said that the demands are eminently reasonable. There is a difference, though, between what is reasonable and what is the political reality. Right now in the U.S. Congress, 100% of senators and 100% of Congress members voted to support Israel in its attack on Gaza, even after hundreds of civilians had been killed. That resolution was passed in both the House and the Senate. What do you think would have to happen in order to change that political reality in Washington to put the needed pressure on Israel to end this?
I think you can look at history for a couple of case studies. And what you'll find is that leaders do have to respond to popular pressures. What form that might take, my guess is probably as good as yours. There are a lot of different tactics that you could try to adopt. You see universities, for instance, boycotting working with Israel. On the other hand, just protests on the street, solidarity groups. I mean, there's all in a country like this where it's not, relatively speaking, it's not dangerous to protest. I think the possibilities are endless. I think there's all kinds of things you can do.
And that boycott movement that you mentioned is part of the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement. More information can be found on the website bdsmovement.net. I've been speaking with Ken Klippenstein. He recently co-wrote the piece U.S. Provides Israel the Weapons Used on Gaza. That can be found at truthout.org. That's truth-out.org. Ken Klippenstein, I want to thank you so much for joining us this evening on the KBOO Evening News.
All right, thanks very much for having me.
This is Jenka Soderberg with KBOO News.
The time is 6:05, and you're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM Community Radio. Coming up next is Labor Radio at 6, in a couple minutes, and then at 6:30 will be Prison Pipeline, followed by Hard Knock Radio, so please stay tuned.
From expulsion to arrest, from the classroom to the cell block. This is the School to Prison Pipeline in Oregon. We'll talk to Mark McKechnie, an advocate for youth and the young men currently incarcerated at McLaren. Tune in to Prison Pipeline on July 28th at 6:30 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the album release party for Tribal Essence Volume 2 on Friday, August 8th at 10 p.m. There will be two floors of psychedelic trance and downtempo music curated by DJ Water with performances, art, and special guests. Tribal Essence Volume 2 release party will take place at the Analog Cafe, 720 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard in Portland. More information, including a list of performers, can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening, welcome to Labor Radio, the program of, by, and for working people. I'm your host tonight, my name is John Walsh. Here with us in the studio is Romeo Sosa. Romeo is the Executive Director of the VOS Workers' Rights Education Project. And Romeo, welcome, and can you tell us what VOS does?
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. Today, VOS is a worker-led organization that empowers immigrant and day laborers to gain control over their working conditions through education, leadership development, and community organizing. And also we operate the Martin Luther King Jr. Worker Center, where we connect 100 workers to employers, to jobs, basically, in the last 6 years since we opened the Worker Center. We have send about 22,000 jobs, generating 22,000 jobs. Some of them, they are permanent jobs in the community of Portland.
How long has VOS been around? When did VOS start?
In 2000.
So before the Workers' Center, there were already projects underway. There was a process prior to being able to open the Workers' Center, right?
Yes. Before we opened the Workers' Center, we organize it basically on the street, so we defend the right of the people to look for work on the street. We believe that it's a right, and people, they have that need to feed their families. For so many years, we have different programs, like really, first of all, the art and music and the ESL classes was one of the tools, like to organize people and bring them together to fight for the same cause. And since in 2008, that was with the help of City of Portland, we opened for the first time the first day labor center in Portland.
Okay, now recently, VOS had to choose between losing a major grant or disowning an ally. Could you describe what that situation was, what the choice that you faced was consisting of?
Yes, we applied for $75,000 to Catholic Campaign for Human Development to basically to do organized day laborers and to Stop the Wage Theft in the state of Oregon, and part of that is also the campaign to have a permanent home for day laborers. But when we were one of the finalists, and so we had the interview, and then one of the things that they told us, the only way we can find, or they can give us the fund, is if we can, if we need to disaffiliate with NCLR, which is National Council of La Raza, which they support marriage equality. So that was the main reason. And after a lot of discussion internally with the staff and day laborers and the executive committee, it was a very tough decision that we need that money.
How much of your budget does that represent?
It's a quarter of our budget. So we have a budget of $310,000 a year. So it's a quarter of our budget. It's a big thing for us. But also, I think we talk much about our values. What does that mean, Voz? Really, I would just follow the money. I would just like get the money, and then we forget about who we are, what we stand for. And I think that was discussion until we end up that we say we're not going to do whatever the CCHD want us to do. So we stand with NCLR and we stand with our values. And any groups that who stand for the same values, we are with them.
Had you gotten this grant before?
Yes. Catholic Campaign for Human Development, they have given us funding since before I think I started work there in 2004. When I worked there, there's like about 3 years they didn't fund us, and then last year also they didn't fund us. But there's some yes and some years no.
Some years yes, some years no. But yeah. they apparently did not have an issue with VOS or the work that VOS does. It was more like they objected to another group. Basically, you can't be friends with someone else because we're not friends with them, rather than having a direct involvement with the work of VOS itself.
Yeah, and I think this year it wasn't the first year that they bring that concern. In the past 3 years, they brought the same concern about because we organized the May Day in Portland, and one of the in the flyer, one of the demand was the free choice for, I think, one of the groups. They have that demand in the flyer. And they also called us and say, look, this is not with the principle of the church. And but we told them that it's not our demand. Our demand is more about driver license, immigration reform, police-ICE collaboration, and all that. But it's not really some that we work on. But in other groups too, that we are member of the National Network for Immigrant and Refugee Rights, and also support the gays and lesbian rights, and because we're a member of them also, they somehow they discovered that we are part of them. And the bad thing I think in this is that they keeping investigating you, try to find out who is your ally and who is not, you know. And for me, I really respect the church. I'm Catholic myself, but at the same time, I don't think it's a good thing to force a group to do like the what they want us to do. And I respect their position, but not force other group to do the same thing.
After this news came out, and it came out big time, it came out in mainstream media, it's been in the print media. What has the response of the community been in terms of standing by VOS?
I think it's a very good response of the community, and we never thought that we're going to get funds from many other people, not only the state of Oregon, but out of the state and from New York, Washington, D.C., and California, and everywhere. And I think there are people, they hear from us, because also I have interviews not only in the state of Oregon, but also New York and Washington, D.C., and other part of the country that they hear about, like the news. And it's good for us. And people, they have donated from $5 to somebody donate $1,800. And so almost every day we have people, they've been donating online. If you are listening, if you want to also support us, you can go at our website. It's www.portlandvoice.org, and you just can press the button donate, and you can just decide how much you're going to donate to us.
How about saying that website one more time in case people didn't have a pencil the first time?
Yeah, www.portlandvoice.org.
And people there can donate to support Voice, help make up the $75,000 gap.
Yes,
created by the loss of this grant.
Yeah, so far we have about $26,000, and two organizations from here, Freedom to Mary and Bro, and members stand up for, but they collect about $12,500 for us, which is a nice thing from them. And I know that some other unions, they're going to send us some money, and other groups that they promised to support us.
I would guess besides the money, there are also groups recognizing commonalities in their struggles that might not have thought of that before. This is probably opening up some new communication channels with people who have not previously been in touch with your work.
That's true. There is like a lot of people, they really like our stand. They are with us, and even some of the Catholic members, which they are afraid to say anything to the church, and we did. So that's a voice, the labor organization, they're not, they didn't think that we can get to that level to challenge a hierarchy that it's wrong. It's wrong for me. It's wrong for everyone. It's wrong. And I think for me, it is bad that a group of the Catholic Church, the extreme right wing, that are dominating this part, and they dominating the CCHD thing, which is not right. I think the church, they need to revise that. They need to think about who is really running the Catholic and the CCHD thing. And we hope that someday the Catholic Church, they're going to be stand with us and with the NCLR and our values.
And it's also other groups in other places that have had a similar problem, losing grants or not having access to support from CCHD for similar reasons, right? This is not unique to Portland and Vos.
Yeah, it's not only us. I think that's another thing we decide to stand up with our values, because I hear other groups in Colorado and Miami and even in the state of Oregon locally, there's like other groups, it's happening to them. And so I think this is a message to them that it's enough, you know, it's enough to that. If they want to help people to get out of poverty, this is not the way, this is not a condition that they have to do in order to solve the poverty in our community.
Now, besides the situation with the grant and the budget gap, what else does Voice have going on now that people should be aware of or perhaps could help support?
Yeah, there is. So we have a lot of things going on. First of all, if our community really, they want to work, if somebody wants to do kind of a small, big project on their home, they just can come and hire a day labor for a day. Besides that, we do a lot of other things like ESL classes, computer classes, skills trainings, because I think some of the people there, they need to learn more skills in order to do the better jobs in the community. And we provide also health and safety trainings. Some of the jobs that day laborers do, it's very dangerous and they don't know. So we give those trainings with the help of OSHA. So to have the protection, like the gloves and masks or glasses that when they do the work. But also the worker center, it's a very important asset in the community. Since we opened the worker center, we have shown to the city that it works. it works, and it's been 6 years now, and we have no wage theft that happened at the worker center. All the wage theft happened outside of the worker center, on the street, or other industries that we helped them to recover their wages. So we're working with PDC right now to see how we can get a permanent building to day laborers, because it's a need. It's a need for day laborers. It's a need for the whole community. It's not only benefit for day laborers, but the entire community benefit for it.
One more time, what's the website for people who wish to support VOS?
www.portlandvos.org, or they can call us at 503-233-6787 if in case they don't hear well the website.
Okay. Thank you very much, Romeo Sosa from VOS. Good luck with the budget and also with the work.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. This is Labor Radio. You can catch archive versions of this and other shows at www.kboo.fm. For the second part of our show, we're going to talk by phone from Colombia with Jorge Parra, who's the president of Asotrecol, the Association of Injured General Motors Workers, who were legally kicked to the curb by the company. These workers decided to occupy that curb, specifically the one across the street from the U.S. Embassy, where they're now approaching 3 unbroken years in constant protest, including hunger strikes with lips sewn shut, tying one of themselves to a cross, and burying 2 of their number up to their necks. 2 years ago, the U.S. Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service supervised a brief mediation between Asotrecol and GM, but then and now the company refuses to do right by these workers. This part of the show is going to be bilingual, so please bear with me. Going to have to translate. Muy buenas noches, Jorge. Bienvenidos otra vez a Libre Radio.
Buenas noches, ¿cómo están? Muchas gracias por la llamada.
Y Jorge, son casi 3 años en las carpas para Asotrecol. ¿Cuál mensaje tienes para la gente acá en esta etapa de la lucha?
Pues, primero que todo, agradecerles por permanecer apoyándonos. Realmente la ayuda que hemos recibido de los sindicalistas y de la comunidad de Portland ha sido muy importante para nosotros. Y como tú dices, ya son 3 años resistiendo la situación frente a la embajada y pues soportando situaciones duras, como podrás entender.
Jorge says thanks for all of the support, that it's been very important for them, the union and community support coming from Portland, that it's been 3 years of resistance. It's very difficult, this situation in the tents in front of the embassy, but the support has been very important for them. Y Jorge, desde el punto de vista de Asotrecol, ¿qué es necesario para solucionar el conflicto con GM?
Pues realmente nosotros como trabajadores en Colombia, desafortunadamente, al no contar con las instituciones de nuestro gobierno, al no tener el respaldo de las instituciones de nuestro gobierno, pues las únicas alternativas que nos quedan es presionar por un arreglo político. Realmente eso es lo que se ha basado en nuestra lucha y pues ahora lo único que tenemos es seguir ejerciendo acciones para tratar de presionar para que General Motors asuma con su responsabilidad de responder por los atropellos que cometió con nosotros.
Jorge says that unfortunately the reality is that for workers in Colombia it's not possible to rely upon the government institutions to do what's necessary in this sort of situation, that therefore they have to pressure for a political solution, that's the basis of the method of the struggle, to have actions that will pressure General Motors to assume responsibility for the abuses that were committed against these workers and to act to solve the problem.
Y Jorge, ¿cuál son? Como tú sabes, hemos hecho muchas acciones, de hecho, como cosernos los labios, entrar en huelga de hambre, inclusive crucificarnos y últimamente pues hicimos la acción de enterrarnos. Con el único objetivo, pues, de lograr presionar para que General Motors pues responda y decida solucionar esta situación. Realmente eso es lo que nos queda. Estamos próximos a iniciar más acciones en estos días y pues va a ser prácticamente situaciones como la que siempre hemos venido haciendo, que es lo único que podemos hacer, poner en riesgo nuestras propias vidas para lograr una solución y presionar para que General Motors cumpla con la ley.
Jorge lists some of the actions they've taken, including sewing their lips, going on hunger strike, the crucifixion of one of their members, burying themselves, and in general applying pressure, because the more actions that they do, the more their chances of pressuring General Motors into responding. In coming days, they will be necessarily doing more actions to increase the pressure to try and reach a solution to get General Motors to comply with the law that that should prevail in this case, but which is not acting by itself to do what's necessary. I'm speaking two languages at once here. Y Jorge, ¿hay cosas específicas que podemos desde el norte para apoyar la lucha de Azotricol?
Sí, claro, por supuesto. Pues primero que todo, nosotros queremos agradecer por el respaldo que siempre hemos tenido por parte de la comunidad de Portland. Y pues sí, queremos pedirles el favor que nos sigan apoyando. Realmente la presión que hemos logrado, el apoyo que hemos tenido de las personas cuando nos acompañan en las diversas acciones o en los meetings que se han organizado al frente de los dealers para lograr presionar y mostrar el respaldo para nuestra lucha, pues realmente para nosotros es lo que nos ha mantenido con vida. Es muy importante seguir teniendo el respaldo de la comunidad de Portland por medio de sus comunicados, por medio de escritos de sus sindicatos a la UAW para que la UAW pues adopte este problema internacional y en lo posible nos ayude a buscar una solución. Realmente es muy importante la ayuda de la comunidad en Portland.
Jorge thanks us again for support specifically from Portland, but also asks that people please continue the support, please continue the pressure and the accompaniment of the struggle of Azotricol. Examples of that being the actions at dealerships, the letters that have been written, the phone calls, the messages that have been sent. Specifically, one of the places where those might be helpful is getting the UAW, the United Auto Workers in the U.S., to act to try and help solve this problem, this being, after all, a U.S.-based corporation. And perhaps there's more possibility of communication and approaching a resolution through that method through labor in the U.S. than there would be otherwise. And I'll throw in that I'm sure there'll be stuff going on in Detroit on Friday, which is going to be the third anniversary. Jorge, digo que en Detroit, el viernes, por supuesto, va a haber acciones también de solidaridad.
Sí, John. Y también es importante pedirles el favor que de comunicarse con su embajada en Estados Unidos, en Colombia, con su embajador, el señor Kevin Whitaker, para que no, en lo posible, pues, al menos se nos responda o se nos respete nuestra Constitución y se respete la libertad y el derecho a las huelgas. Y realmente, por las próximas acciones que vamos a hacer y por todo el respaldo que vamos a tener en Detroit, pues estamos preocupados por nuestra seguridad personal y también la seguridad de nuestra ocupación al frente de la embajada, y más cuando hemos tenido amenazas, serias amenazas de un posible desalojo. Y pues realmente es muy, muy importante poder tener el respaldo de la comunidad en Portland, que por favor necesitamos que llamen a su embajada en Colombia para que respete nuestro derecho a protestar, nuestro derecho a seguir nuestra lucha de huelga y sobre todo para que decidan buscar una solución inmediata a nuestra problemática.
Jorge adds that it's very important that people contact the U.S. Embassy in Bogota. The ambassador's name is Kevin Whitaker, and insist that the embassy respect the rights of these workers in protest, respect their right to protest, their right to strike, but also specifically respect the safety of the workers and of their occupation, of their tent in front of the embassy. They've had threats against both their own security, their own personal safety, and also against the tent encampment which they've set up across from the embassy, threats of being evicted essentially or forcibly removed from their location there where they've been for 3 years. So it's very important that the embassy be aware that there is vigilance about that in the United States, that people care about that, and that people insist that the embassy respect the rights under Colombian and international law, international standards, of these workers to protest. Jorge, ¿hay otra cosa que quieres decir esta noche a las compañeras y los compañeros acá?
Sí, pues primero que todo recordarles que aunque somos trabajadores de Sudamérica, recordarles que nos une las mismas situaciones de ser trabajadores del mundo, que también soportamos las mismas situaciones que están viviendo en Estados Unidos, con muchos atropellos en Colombia. Realmente el apoyo y la solidaridad de la comunidad en Portland es muy importante para los trabajadores en Colombia. El respaldo de los trabajadores y de los compañeros en Portland pues ha garantizado un poco poder seguir la lucha. Y pues que esperamos seguir contando con la ayuda.
Jorge says that although they're workers in South America, they're facing many situations very similar to what we face in the U.S. And I'm going to insert here that Jorge's been to the U.S. twice. He knows what he's talking about here. That we're fighting a very similar fight, that there's